It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. I am Dave Richmond. Glad for you to be with us. Whatever time you're listening, now. And we have a great show. I'm telling you folks, this is going to be a lot of fun. I can already feel it. Ladies and gentlemen, the infamous Kyle from LaGrange Barber. What's up, man?
What's going on, David? How you doing?
I'm glad to have you tonight. It's the kinder, gentler Kyle. I just think you're going to be gentle tonight for some reason. I don't know. Maybe I'm going out for a limb and they're predicting the wrong outcome. We'll see. Hey, Bubba, what's up, dude?
What's going on, guys? Just watching a little basketball. Kentucky's putting a hurting on Vanderbilt, 45-15 at halftime.
That's no surprise there, but you would think it would be a little bit closer than that for sure. We want to welcome in one of our good friends, Dr. John Bream. John, man, thank you so much for coming back with us.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me back on.
Well, I told you a week or two ago that I wanted to have you back on. I didn't think it would be for this. I was actually going to have you on to talk about so far in 2019 about athletics, and that's the intent. I want to make that very clear to folks so they think that, you know, I'm sure that we have some kind of agenda we don't, other than have fun on this podcast. Can you give us an idea what went down today? Because you're in the middle of the story, and so I want to have you on to talk about that. And for the record, we actually invited the vice chancellor on as well to give him a chance, and he's always welcome to this podcast. But I'll let you tell the story, and then we can react to it.
Yeah, I mean, there's really, you guys probably know it about, you know, kind of like I do. I was contacted and, you know, was told about, you know, the 40 under 40 and that the stuff had started disappearing from the website and that I, me being named as an award recipient might have something to do with it. But then, you know, that was sort of confirmed today by, you know, the Pirate Radio Live guys. I started getting a couple of messages asking what was going on when you know, Heath Bowman submitted his resignation letter to the university. And, you know, I was like, well, this is kind of what I've been told. I don't know how much of this is true and how much of it isn't currently. And then, you know, it basically came out that, you know, the theory is that, you know, because of me being an outspoken critic of the chancellor and ECU administration at times that, they didn't want me to be associated with the award ceremony. And so this is kind of where everything landed. And so I think all those, you know, dice are still being shaken out. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, Heath took a, you know, fortunately, I want to say unfortunately, you know, unfortunately for his, you know, income stream, you know, he took the fall for this and decided that his integrity and his honor was more important than his job, it sounds like. And I think you know, he should be commended for, you know, for taking a stand against what he felt was wrong. Because ultimately, you know, whenever I have been a critic of the university, that's what's all about is, you know, right and wrong and the facts. And, you know, those facts, you know, I'm sure will all eventually come out. But, you know, I don't have all of those answers right now. I don't know if anybody does. You know, I hope that maybe Heath will come out and talk about it sometime soon, and you know, we'll all get to know what exactly happened with this scenario.
Well, the thought is, at least what I'm thinking, tell me if this sounds right, that Staten wanted to remove you. He wanted to have you removed from the award ceremony or receiving the award altogether or what?
They canceled the whole awards. They postponed them.
As of right now, it sounds like everything has kind of been shut down. They removed you know, the 40 under 40 award recipients from the website for anything ECU media. My mom actually, you know, yesterday was the deadline to submit your biography and all that stuff. So I submitted that yesterday. And I sent my mom, you know, the link to buy her tickets for the event because you get one ticket for you and then one pre-ticket, and anybody else that wants to come, you know, has to pay separate. So I don't want to think that I'm making my parents buy their own stuff, you know.
Right.
They give you one free ticket. So my mom was on her ticket, and it takes you to a website that directs you to another place to buy your ticket, and the link to buy the tickets for the 40 Under 40 alumni event have been removed from the website.
So even if he hadn't resigned, did Staten just think people weren't going to realize that the 40 Under 40 stuff had just disappeared and what happened now?
Well, I mean, and that's a good question. So I think we should make the important clarification currently that we don't know that this is at Staten's direction. We just know this is from somebody who has
John Bream, the Sports Objective Podcast, Dave Richmond, Bubba Rosenbaum are not saying it's Cecil Staten. Kyle from LaGrange Barber is saying it's Cecil Staten. And this is my statement alone, because Cecil Staten's an idiot and he's a crook. And he's a self-absorbed, egomaniacal maniac who only cares about himself in his best interest. And Bream hurt his little feelings and hurt his ego, and he can't stand it. So, again, this isn't coming from Dr. Bream or anybody else on this podcast. This is all coming from me. So, Cecil, I'm begging you, come after me.
Yeah.
Wrong words from Kyle from LaGrange.
Yeah, check Kyle's grades there, Cecil. Check his grades at ECU. Can check mine. I can tell you I barely graduated, but I graduated. I don't have the GPA that John Bream does, but you know what? I still have a diploma on the wall, and I can tell you one thing. I care about the university as if I have a 4.0. I can tell you right there. And if I could go back in time and have the maturity I have now, my grades would be way better. But that's a whole other podcast. But I can tell you right now that this reeks. And I say, well, John, that you're being fair. And we are fair on this podcast. Some people question that about the objectivity and the name. We should change the name from the Sports Objective. But stick to the sports. That's why we have the Sports Objective number one. Right? Fair to say something. There's smoke here.
Yeah, there's definitely smoke here. I don't know, who lit the fire. I think that's what will eventually come out at some point. But
right.
Or what the point kind of behind it was. I don't. At this point, it's all relative. I mean, I think, Pirate Radio broke the story. I'm sure they've got sources upon sources that they know that they don't want to divulge. But
right.
They obviously knew this was happening and. Felt confident enough in their journalism to break the story, and I think they were certainly very credible.
Well, if you connect the dots, I mean,
you don't have to be you don't have to be a journalist. You don't have to be a journalist to figure out most likely what's happened here. And I would just say this: if that is true, let me make this very clear, so the people that hear what they want to hear. If it is true that Cecil Staten ordered that these awards be canceled, he needs to resign or be fired. And I will just put I'll go on him on
it. That. He'll spin it now. He never ordered them to be canceled. He was just trying to delay it for some reason. Maybe one of the nicer venues. Maybe he had to be out of town that night.
They couldn't have it at the Chancellor's Mansion.
Yeah, exactly. It has to be renovated. Maybe pests. Maybe there's some pests over there. They need to serve that.
It's not safe. It's not safe right now, guys. So, John, what they did is they delayed it for your safety and your health. Is there asbestos?
Where were the award ceremonies supposed to be held, John?
I'm joking. I know they're not going to be there, but
I have to pull up my email about this.
Why not have a new student center? But.
Give me a second, because one of the requirements for the award is that you have to commit to being there in person no matter what. So, I had to make sure that I could be off of work because my schedule's already made through April. Whenever it was going to be, I had to make sure I was going to be off. Let's see.
Well, what's funny is that I've never gotten an award. Now I'm an alum of the university in 1995. What's wrong with these people? No, I'm kidding.
I'll give you an award, David. He's the best David.
Some off-air radio today that he's not a pretty award, but he had to withdraw because he was like 45 when he got nominated.
Wow.
That's hilarious. But, you know, the funny thing about, I want to say funny, it's ironic. Okay, so this is where I'm at right now. And we obviously want to know more details. We'll keep working. I know Pirate Radio tip my hat to Troy. I want to say that, too. Troy Dreyfus gets a lot of heat, but I know he's correct on this, and he's a friend of mine personally. And anytime that there's a story broken, we're going to obviously give them credit for it. And he would not – I know him very well. He is very cautious on putting stuff out on radio. I've known him for, what, 23 years now, going on 23 years?
Yeah.
And he's always, since day one, since he was, since Talk of the Town, early days of Troy Dreyfus's radio career, he's always been asking me as the producer of the show and different people, well, what, how do you know this? And he would ask us different questions. And but anyway, that could be a whole show there about, he does a great job at that. And that wasn't the point. It's just the point is that their spin is going to be, I've already felt it coming. That there's, there you go again with Pirate, and I'm going to stick up for Pirate Radio. This whole deal about, and he doesn't need me to stick up for him, but I'm going to. This whole idea of sensational journalism on one station, all this mess, it's time to end the war. It's time to end the war in the media. It's time to end the war that we have. We're pirates, damn it. We're pirates.
Yeah.
And going back to what Kyle said before, and I'm going to pitch it to you, Kyle, is that you remember, Kyle, we were talking about the very fact that this stuff continues to go on. And guess the way, guess there's one way to stop the bleeding, my friends, and the person at the top right now has got to go. If this story is true, and I will go back to that, and I'm being fair to him, even though I feel like I know where this came from. And let me give advice to the people that are at the top. If you think that John Bream, who is a personal friend of ours now because of you guys, if you think that he's like, you know, like this crazy guy, whatever, why are you giving him so much attention? All you had to do was have the damn ceremony and move on with things, and you would be under the radar. But you put yourself under the radar once again. It's just amazing to me that somebody that's doing this little old podcast, and by the way, there's people that are saying, you know, why do you have to, the reason why we do these topics is on people's minds. And I'm going to tell you something else. We would get no credibility. Nobody would listen to this podcast if we said it was raining and it was sunshine, or it's sunshine and it's raining. And there's times when we don't want to report this. In fact, Kyle and I and Bubba, we joke around, and John is a very funny guy. We joke around, and that's what we'd rather do. Instead, we're having to talk about stuff we don't really want to talk about. Right, Kyle?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was going to say, you were defending Power Radio, because David, you may want to worry about having to defend the podcast here. I mean, from what I just said earlier, and hell, we're having John on, the enemy of the state there.
And you guys, you guys prove your credibility being, way out in front of the Gilbert thing with your shortage of time. Even when it didn't materialize as quickly as people thought it would, you guys changed stuff to your guns, and ultimately were proven to be right.
Well, here's the thing on that. There were a lot of people that I know that thought that we were just, it was a rumor and we were running with it. And Bubba can tell you, Bubba and I were talking for like 12 hours, not straight, but over the course of 12 hours before we even went with it. And we even talked to Kyle about it before we even did our emergency podcast. And
they even talked to Kyle about it.
No, what I'm saying is before we did the show, it wasn't like we just ran with a rumor. We were very cautious about it, and I asked Kyle's opinion, and we talked about it. I also reached out to another after we did the story, we stuck to our guns, and Kyle, doubled down. And the reason we did, we talked to other people that were inside the university, ECU, plus we had people in Knoxville and at Southern Miss at the University of Hattiesburg. So we had sources all over the place that told us it was going to happen. And I think that, like Kyle said, there was a delay because maybe the bowl situation or whatever, or they were, but it, in other words, we knew ahead of time And if it had been any other person, we just got lucky that we had sources in Hattiesburg, that Kyle has friends, and we know people too, and then we've met some new people as well, like Jamie Arrington, to the Top Podcast.
Thanks to my buddies in Hattiesburg put us in contact with Jamie Arrington.
Yeah.
And Jamie was a great source to have at USM, along with the people I know down there. And then
he checked with people too at Hattiesburg, right, as well. And then and our people that we knew checked as well. I mean, it was like there was no way in the world we're going to back down. And
if it wasn't going to be Gilbert, then it would have been the biggest. I mean, it would have been a disaster. Something would have had to implode for him not to get the job when we made the announcement.
Right. So thank you, John, for bringing that up. But you don't have to be. I've been in radio. People don't realize that since 1996. I worked at WPTF for 5.5 years, and I worked with professionals that were big-time news people, and I learned from the best when it comes to sources. And I had already learned it with Henry Hinton at the very beginning of my radio career. But anyway.
John, I have a question for you, man. Do you know on the little paper that went out that had all the signatures on it with their support of Cecil State, do you know if he signed that?
That's a good question. I don't think so, but it would take me a few minutes to find that letter to see, because I didn't save that letter in its original form. But the other answer to your question is the email does not list the site of the awards banquet, but I would believe, I think it's been in Harvey Hall in the past.
Yeah, that sounds right. It's a nice venue, a nice place, but I think that this is a politically, a chancellor position is very political, and he's a politician, and I can't believe that. I'm not surprised. I'm astonished in some respects, but I'm not surprised. But I will tell you that if you're the top, I'll say this too: if you're the top and you allow this stuff to go on, or you didn't know, whatever, you got to take the fall for it at some point. You cannot have this is a Division I university. A great university before Cecil and after he leaves. And we're still going to be here. We've got to clean up the mess. And the four guys on this podcast are always going to be pro ECU. We're going to stand up for ECU. And let me say this too. There's a problem with there's some people that confuse passion with anger. For example, Kyle from LaGrange is one of the most passionate people I know. Passion and anger have nothing to do with it. It's totally different. And you can be passionate like we are and still love the university. And that's what we are. And you like it, you like it, you don't, you don't. But the whole purpose of this podcast was to have fun. That's our agenda. And I hope, my prayer is that people will, you keep thinking that they'll learn from this mistake. They'll learn from this mistake. They'll learn from this mistake. And after a while, using, by the way, Kyle, heavy metal reference, I want to bang my head, but not for the same way of Quiet Riot. I want to bang my head because it's very frustrating that we can't, that our university keeps shooting itself in the foot.
Right, but the answer to that question is no, Heath did not sign the letter. I just read through the list of people. But, I think the important thing for me to sort of qualify here is that this is, there's a selection committee on this 40 for 40 process that you select who gets the award. This is not like it's a one person picks name out of a hat. You got to have a sponsor who feels like you're worthy of being nominated for the award. They have to fill out a paper. They have to fill out a form saying why they feel like you're qualified for the award. Then once that has happened, then once you've been nominated, they send you out a form, and then you have to fill out, what it is that you feel like makes you feel like you're qualified for the award, what your professional accomplishments are to your community and to volunteering and so on and so forth, what your involvement with ECU has been. And then you have to write a 300 word essay about what it means to you to be a Pirate. And so they go through all these, and then, I'm sure out of lots of applications, who they pick the 40 who they feel like are the most worthwhile. And so, yeah, I'll make it very clear that I did not mention hardly anything on my application about any of my criticism or anything about, you know, Confer or Staten or anything. You know, I think I wrote as far as my involvement in each one of the things I listed, in addition to being a Pirate Club member and season ticket holder and, you know, donor to the Michael Bassman Fund, a Chancellor's Fund donor, you know, for the Honors College, a white coat giver for the Brody School of Medicine, you know, all these other things that, you know, I want people to know, you know, what my involvement with the university is, you know, Jolly Rogers member of the Pirate Club, all this stuff is that, I've been a vocal advocate for East Carolina University. I believe that was the phrase I used. That's it. That's all. All I wrote. You know, I didn't.
Well, you all those things, John, all the things you just named. The fact that the chancellor would take a personal issue to try to, and again, this is allegedly take a personal issue with you, and try to keep you from getting that award after all you do for the university. You know, you're a pirate. He's not. He's an employee of the university. You're a pirate. And to me, it's disgusting, and it makes me sick. And I find it appalling that he would do that. And then it sounds like, you know, again, allegedly, you know, try to cancel the whole damn ceremony. It just be a sense of they wouldn't remove you. Well, then just screw them all.
Right, and that's not fair to, you know, the other 39 people.
Right, that was the question I was.
Who were selected? You know, that's not right either. You know, if they don't want me to be there, you know, they could have reached out to me and said, you know, look, we don't think this is right. You know, we're sorry. You know, and I wouldn't have gone and made this think about it, or you know, or this could have just gone as planned. We would have gone, had a nice dinner, and you know, that would have been it. You know,
well, you know, the whole thing. Yeah, that's what I was about to say earlier. Me and David were talking, and I'm going to use a wrestling term because it's just me. Staten could have babyfaced himself.
Oh, big time.
He could have went up there and shook your hand, presented you, you know, when you got that award, said, John, let's let bygones be bygones. Let's take a picture together right now. You know, he screwed this whole thing up.
He could invite you over to the mansion and had some beer. I mean, that would be
right. Yeah. For 3 hours, we could have just said, you know what? For these 3 hours, you know, whatever's happened has happened. We're gonna do this for a banquet. It's an ECU. We both are, you know, gonna uphold professional reputations tonight. You're gonna read the 1 minute biography that I wrote for my award ceremony, and we're gonna shake hands, take a picture, and we're gonna say thank you and move on, because that's all that would have happened.
Right. It's not like
maybe he was scared you were going to walk in with a
banner boy.
This is a black tie event. It's a very big professional event. It would have stayed that way. You know, I don't really understand what the goal here is, and I guess that's when I've asked this question to other people, you know, because obviously when it's about you, you can't really be super objective. They said that it was giving you the award would have legitimized your opinions, and that's the last thing they could have.
But and you're right about that. They're right, and I think the thing is they don't understand how to play. Speaking of politics, I mean, he served in the Georgia State Senate. Here's the thing. Here's the way you play it. Like Kyle and I were talking about, that's the perfect scenario. Guess what would happen if you played that? If he played that the correct way. And politically, and I hate to use that term, it sounds so sleazy, but it's really the only way to, you know, say it, is like Kyle says, shake your hand, smile, move on, and go under the radar. He wants to be in his mansion forever, his million-dollar mansion forever, and, you know, 10,000 bedrooms and whatever, and that's fine. But the only way you're going to do that, Cecil, and to everybody listening, is to stay under the radar. And, you know, everybody says, the folks like us are starting trouble. It's not starting trouble. I could not make up the story. I could not make – when I heard about this on Pirate Radio Live, I was shocked. And especially because we know John personally, and, yes, we do know John. if you take, and I will say all this, and let me say this too publicly, those people that don't know John, don't say a word about John. Get to know John. I could have done that, and Kyle, you know this, and I've told you, John, personally, I reached out to you because I want to give you a platform on our podcast. I didn't know you from anyone. I reached out to you to be fair to you. I thought you were getting unfair criticism, and I was correct. And if you get a chance to know John, you'll know that John is not all the people try to make him out to be and all this stuff.
Well, it's only a few people that say that stuff about John. There's just as many people
right.
Well, that like what Bream has been behind and started, you know, this movement. What John did was rally a bunch of people together that were angry.
Right. A lot of people agree with the message, or maybe not the medium. You know, that's,
I
had
no problem with the medium either.
Well, I mean, it was drastic. I mean, I was at that. But it was effective, but drastic.
You get people like, you know,
but, you know, I think that's when I would say a lot of people, when they have criticism, they're like, well, actually, that letter, I don't know if you guys, there's a letter to the editor or from the East Carolinian recently from, you know, Pat Lane, who, you know, is a very well-respected donor to academics and athletics. And, you know, he and his wife have been involved in multiple boards. I mean, he's been on the board of trustees. His wife's been on the foundation board. I mean, they're very, very involved Pirates. And, you know, that's the fact when the editor wrote a piece about we need to unite, you know, he wrote a response letter, said he agrees with the letter, but the one thing that has been left out is we tried everything else. You know, I mean, we wrote letters and sent them to the chancellor and sent them to the AD and sent them to the board of trustees. And, you know, we asked for meetings and we did all our things.
Correct.
And, you know, nobody would heed our warnings. Nobody would heed our warnings. And so that, or not heed our warnings, but like heed our advice or anything like that, you know. You know, like, hey.
Sounds like a bad storm coming.
Right. You know, we're trying to tell you this extension is a really bad idea. Like, you really please think this over before you sign this paper. And I know lots of people who, you know, wrote letters and people who got personal meetings who advised them, don't do this extension. Please don't do this extension. And, you know, it kind of went right through anyway. And it's just kind of like, all right, well, we tried to do this the nice, simple way. You know, nobody is trying to go scorched earth, but, you know, people were mad. And it's just kind of, you know, what happens. And, you know, I think I am ecstatic about Mike Houston and Joe Dooley and Cliff Godwin and, you know, all the positive energy that's in that athletic program. And actually,
right,
you know, I was, you know, when we talked about athletic directors before, I wasn't, and I'll be honest, John Gilbert wouldn't have been the guy I would have picked, but I've got to say he's done an A-plus job. I mean, he has been a man of the people. He's communicated his, you know, letter from the heaven.
Very well.
He's been in the student section. I mean, he's done like an A-plus job. I mean, A++ job. You couldn't ask for a better start for Mr. Gilbert. And, you know, he deserves all the credit for that. And hopefully, you know, Dave has talked to him about, you know, what it means to be a Pirate and how to engage a Pirate Nation. And Mike Houston's out there. I mean, Pat Hooks for Houston. And, you know, Dave, you know, I hope that Mike Houston does illegal things to Dave Doran on the football field. Because, I mean, he just, from what he said, he just absolutely deserved it. Couldn't happen to a more jerk of a guy. But, you know, but the athletic department has really just been running on all cylinders. I think everybody's really, really happy with what's going on there. And, you know,
inside the war building, they're ecstatic. It's like ding dong, right, the witch just said, you know, and actually, Kyle,
and I've heard
and
like a breath of fresh air is what I've heard.
Yes.
A breath of fresh air.
Yes. And there are people that are more outspoken, I will say, and there are people that are very classy and tactful in the way they say it. But at the end of the day, they're all very happy to have a new and look at. And another thing, too, let me just say this, too, about John Gilbert. If you want to know about a person, look at the people they hang out with. In this particular case, business-wise, look at the people they hire. Look at the hires that John Gilbert made. For example, I said to him, the very first hire the man made was Mike Houston. He went out and got our man, the man that we wanted, the most of the fan base wanted anyway. I won't say all, but And then look at all the people administratively that he's hired. I think Ryan Robinson, Caroline, all those folks that he's hired has been absolutely home run hires. And, you know, until they prove me wrong, I feel like that John Gilbert has been tremendous so far. Like you said, so far, I told Bubba and Kyle, so far, so good. He came on our podcast. He was, every question I asked him, he was open and honest about. He didn't dance around. I asked him a lot of different questions, a lot of different topics. He was straightforward with me. He never told me, nobody told me ahead of time, you can't ask about this. He didn't know what questions I was going to ask ahead of time or anything. And he was open and honest. And I just thought, oh my God, this is tremendous. I mean, we're not used to that for the last few years.
But, Gilbert's done a good job so far.
But then, you know, everybody was happy, and then all of a sudden, out of left field, this letter of support for Staten comes out, and it's just a letter of just really, I mean, concocted opinions and, you know, lots of fabrications, and you're like, whoa, what is this mess, you know, and you're like, okay, you know, this is, oh boy, here we go, you know, it's like, I was content just to, you know, do my job and work and spend more time with my wife and stuff I wasn't doing before. And, you know, and then all of a sudden this comes on again and you're like, okay,
if they had leave
the stuff alone, if they had left the stuff alone, then you don't bring Dr. John Bream back into the news, so to speak. And you can kind of like go under the radar. And what they did by doing this, Let me back up on this too. I want to point out and want to make. They thank God for, and I know Troy was talking about BRL earlier. Thank God for Pete Bowman. I messaged him and told him he's welcome on the podcast anytime. And he had the courage, he had the guts to quit and give a resignation letter. If he doesn't do that, guess what? Nobody would have known that this whole thing.
Right. I
think people still would have known it because of the event. Yeah, I mean, people would have wanted to know why the event was canceled.
Yeah,
right. But that's
what I want to know, what the end game was. What were they going to do?
Yeah. I don't think like this administration has been, even Comfer, they would just shoot their, you know, they would literally just fire and have no plan or not know what the consequences really could be. And I think that you were talking about earlier about egos. Well, you know what? Everybody has an ego, but you need to leave the egos at the door. And in this specific case, like we've said, all they had to do is simply give the award to John, have the ceremony, move on, and then we wouldn't have a podcast to talk about. Think about that. We wouldn't be talking about this right now. So we're talking about it because they made the news when they, whoever it is, Forrest told Heath Bowman that he couldn't have the event, to cancel it and to kick people off the board, a couple people off the board. When you do that kind of stuff, you're only asking for it. That's not David or Kyle or Bubba. Again, I couldn't make this up. I would have never... To be honest, I've got more important things to do than to think about canceling award ceremony, especially when this is hypothetically, let's say that you're some radical and you blew up buildings or something crazy.
Wow.
Then, no, I'm just saying there's a reason why you say, guys, we really need to think about this. This guy is crazy or whatever. Dr. Bream has done John has done nothing but do great things for East Carolina. Oh, by the way, he graduated from East Carolina undergrad and Brody School of Medicine, which is ECU, and all the stuff he's done, and then all the great work he's doing now. And he doesn't need us to toot his horn, but he's doing a lot of great stuff in the community in Salisbury and there at the hospital in the emergency department. And I tell you, folks, I don't understand, what does it take for someone to get an award? And, yeah, you can say it's controversial, all the stuff, but things didn't have to get as bad. I will say this. Things did not have to get as bad as they did in athletics. And we had people that were sheeple, We had people that had their own personal gains out of things, so they just let things happen because they got what they wanted out of the administration back then. And there was a lot of things that were happening. And if it wasn't folks like Dr. Breen, Dr. John Breen, he may have done the banners, and whether you like it or you don't, there's more people supported that that movement than didn't support it. And so whether you like it or don't like it, that part of everything is over with. And if you look at John now, he doesn't have FireConf anymore. He has Right the Ship, and he's trying to make things better. We're all trying to make things better. And last thing, it's really weird that people that are against you, when they say that if you're for the Pirates, then be with us. And if you're not with the Pirates, go to another, teach at another school, or you can be chancellor at another university or whatever. But if you're going to be with the Pirates, then you need to support all the Pirates. And I think that's the reason why the previous administration got in trouble, because they didn't do like John Gilbert. John Gilbert has done more in the short time he's been here than those people did in 5 years, folks. Did you notice? Don't you guys agree?
No, I agree 100%. Gilbert's had more of an impact than his 1 month being here, at least a positive impact than Comfort did the whole time he was here. John, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned earlier that there was a board that voted on you receiving that award and on everyone receiving that award, the other 39 people. How many members were on that board?
I'm not sure. That would have to go to the alumni. It was the Alumni Advisory Board, I believe, that chooses it.
Okay. Is it a unanimous or is it a majority vote? Do you know how that works?
Process works.
Okay, you're breaking up. We didn't hear your answer.
Now we're losing
you, John.
Bubba, are you still here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah,
all right, John. All right, there we go, John.
It would go, through the alumni board. You know, I'm not sure if it's a majority or a unanimous or whatnot.
Okay.
Or would allude to the fact that.
But either way, it would have to be unanimous or majority. So,
right.
The alumni board voted that you should receive this award. So, I mean, and they were aware of you and your accomplishments, and I'm sure most of them, if not all of them, knew, had heard the name John Breen in relation to the banner. So
right.
Either they didn't have a problem with it, or they felt if they did have a problem with it, that all the good you do for the university outweighed that if they perceived that as negative.
Right. Right. It's just, this is supposed to be an award of professional achievement. You know, what have you accomplished to your field? And, I submitted my statement, to Pirate Radio, but before, when I took over at Rowan Medical Center in 2015, everybody thought I was crazy because the hospital didn't have a great reputation. And Bubba lives in Rowan County. I mean, he can tell you, that, the hospital did not have the best reputation. And then a week before I started, I already agreed to take the job. There is an article that came out from NPR, National Public Radio, about patient satisfaction. And I'm not sure how, but Rowan was one of the hospitals they singled out for having some of the, quote, lowest patient satisfaction scores in the country, unquote. And so, we've gone from that, with patient satisfaction scores, some quarters that were in the 20s, to
wow.
Now, having, patient satisfaction scores that, I think we finished around 65 last quarter, and we've been persistently over 60%. So, we doubled our patient satisfaction, we've decreased the time to see a provider by 75%. We've decreased the door to discharge time by, 26%. We've increased the rate at which you get admitted to the hospital by from the time we admit you to time you get upstairs by 26%. We're a national leader in door to pain management for long bone fractures. All our quality metrics for the Rowan, the Novant system are sparkling compared to what they used to be. And, all those kind of things. That's what the award is based on, and we've been working on a community initiative with a community care clinic to have the emergency department providers to work with them to expand access to uninsured patients. I organized a fundraiser through the emergency department for the community care clinic as a dunk the doctor thing where the nurses got the dunk the doctors and raised money. And You know, I organized that. It raised $2,000 for the community care clinic. You know, so that's what the award is about. You know, the award isn't about, you know, what I think about the athletic director. Like, that's what the award is about. That, you know, in four years, you know, how far, you know, it's not just me. It's, you know, my nurse manager and all my providers. And, you know, it takes a team. I mean, it's a team effort, you know, to move your entire department along. And that's a, you know, 51,013 visit emergency department with 39 beds, and that we have really, you know, done a, you know, 180 in that emergency department to kind of get it functioning where it needs to be. And, you know, it's never perfect. It's never going to be perfect when your baseline is, you know, organized chaos, but, you know, it is, you know, we are doing, you know, well better than what we used to do. And I mean, doing great by most, you know, objective measures. And so I'm very proud of that work. I think, you know, the hospital is proud of that work and everything that we've managed to accomplish. And, you know, that's what we're celebrating here, not just my achievements, but the achievements of 39 others. And honestly, I think whoever picked that award could separate that from the other noise. And I think that's what that's about. But I would be remiss if I didn't make one other point, that this isn't the first time this has happened. You know, there's a certain radio personality in Greenville that said he wouldn't want me to take care of him, despite those accomplishments and being a 40 under 40 winner and being a boarded physician in emergency medicine who's a fellow of the American College of Emergency Physicians. There's a certain radio personality that said he'd never want me to take care of him, despite the fact that I was trained at East Carolina University. And, you know, I just felt that's, you know, this is not the first time that, you know, they've tried to somehow tarnish my professional reputation. I would just point that out.
Well, let me say this too, is that, like Kyle said, it's almost like that you're from another university. And we've got to stop attacking our alums. And it's kind of ironic, I think, that as I can speak because I am an alum. And I just think it's, to me personally, it's offensive as someone that is an alum, that you're going to attack. Even if I didn't know John personally, I would be upset, because that could happen to any of us that are up for award. And you know, the thing is that we're supposed to be celebrating somebody's achievements. And I think that if you look at John said those things, and if you want to, I'm sure that people can research those things. And it's not something like he's just making up numbers. And if you're in the healthcare industry, then you know that those things are very sacred things. And those things are to be proud of when you, patient satisfaction is huge for a hospital. And the ED, the emergency department, another thing that I want to tip my hat to you, my friend, is it is like the biggest pressure cooker you can imagine. And I'm on the outside looking in. I know a little bit about it, but I will tell you that it's not easy. It's very hard. And, you know, no matter, another thing to take up for John is from the emergency department, no matter how great your staff is, all across the board, medical and support staff, there also can be, John, and I didn't want to go on, but I will say this, there also can be where you're having so many people, in other words, the demand of people needing to be seen. You can't, people don't understand, but you can't refuse people. And they can come in there and they can have a cold, and you can't refuse that person. And so that's where the problem becomes. And then they don't understand, not to get too much in the weeds, but they don't understand that there's a thing called triage. If a man has, if there's a gunshot, for example, a gunshot victim, he takes precedent over somebody that has a cold. But they have it as if, well, I was the 25th person in line, so you should see me over the guy that has a gunshot. So
you know, it's what the college defines as, you know, an emergency is defined as what the patient thinks is an emergency. And so that's how you're trained and you treat, you know, you always keep in the back of your mind that, you know, while this may seem trivial to you, they have a cold. I mean, this is an emergency to them, and, you know, you need to treat them as such. And so, you know, you treat everybody with, you know, dignity and respect, and that's how you pull your scores out of the gutter. That's, you know, what we do at Rowan. That's what we preach to everybody. We, you know, I sit down. I mean, every negative comment that gets written on a survey comes to me. And then I have to meet with the patient relations team and their managers. And then we follow back up with everybody else with a signed letter from Dr. Breen about how we take their feedback seriously, how we're going to improve, and how valuable their feedback is to us.
Actually, John, what I heard you did is any negative comments you get from patients, you go fly a banner over their house.
That's right.
Because you're such a nut job. I mean, it's amazing how, and I will say that the people, and I will say this again, the people, if you don't know John, take the time to get to know John before, and then how can you, that's like making a comment about a movie or a television show and you've never seen it. If you don't know the person, stop being ignorant. We have people that are very bright who are ignorant because they choose not to meet John, talk to John, find out more about him. I could have done the same thing. I could have said, this guy is crazy. He's flying banners. He's doing all this crazy stuff. So why is he doing it? He's doing it for attention. He loves the media. He wants to be in the spotlight. The guy that I know, that John Bream, actually doesn't want the spotlight, and he's told me many times that he wants to be out of the spotlight, and so I believe him when he says that. He's not proving me wrong there, and so I really want for folks, that's the outcome I want, is the people that if you've ever said a negative thing about John and you've never met him, you've never talked to him, stop the madness. You're the problem. You're the one that needs to meet John and talk to John. And John, you and I have talked about it before. You will actually meet with people, correct?
Yeah, I'm happy to meet with folks. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's what I wrote about. And, you know, while I don't, you know, particularly want to be in the spotlight, I'm not going to, you know, back down from a fight either. You know, I knew when I put my name out here that, you know, it would be inviting criticism and whatnot. And I'm perfectly okay with that. But, you know, when they asked me what it was to be a pirate, I talked about, you know, the fighting spirit, that you plant your feet, you take a brace, and you knock on the door, and you want them to get them. And, you know, if these folks keep wanting some, they're going to get some. I mean, that's just, you know.
Amongst them, get some.
That's how it is. So, you know, maybe some Russell McNeil fans read my application. I don't know. Maybe that's how I got in. I don't know, but. That's, you know, that was what I talked about in my survey, but I mean, my application, what it means to be a pirate. But, you know, I'm not out here actively seeking these things or, you know, dying for attention or anything. But, you know, I'm not gonna, back down from a good fight, and I'm not gonna tolerate, you know, all these wrongs that are happening to the university. I mean, I think to me, it's just, you know, it's right and it's wrong. I mean, that's the only two things that really, you know, there are. You know, the facts will bear all that out. But, you know, it's just, it's sad, you know, what happened to, you know, I hope that Heath, you know, is able to talk freely about what happened and that all this kind of gets out there and that we really, the bad characters that are at play here, I hope that this all kind of, you know, gets exposed at some point and we can, you know, move on and, you know, everything you see can be, you know, hunky-dory and, you know, we can be, you know, 100% happy about, you know, both arms of our university, the academic division and the athletics division.
Well, one thing that I thought I'd mention that I don't like about this, and they didn't want you involved, and let me say that, someone didn't want you involved, and I, of course, think it's obviously Satan, in the 40 Under 40 Award, and they didn't want you at the ceremony,
right.
the dinner, the banquet, whatever it is, to receive the award. Well, what's next? What's next? Are they going to decide? Is Satan going to decide, you know, well, I don't want Bream at a Pirate Club function, or I don't want Kyle from LaGrange at a football game because the things he says about me. I mean, you know, you if you allow a person to get away with one thing, who's to say they won't do something, you know, they won't take the next step? And,
it's a college campus.
Right. And there should be an open, healthy dialogue about, you know, right, what the issues are and how to fix them. And there are some folks on that campus who I should give credit to who are willing to have an open dialogue. You know, Philip Wood, for example, being chief among them. You know, he sat down with organized an event in Raleigh where we had, you know, 20 concerned Pirate Club members, and we sat down for, I mean, Philip sat there with us for 3 hours and listened to all of our concerns. He took diligent notes and, you know, so on and so forth. So I know there are, you know, great people at our university who are willing to listen.
Absolutely.
To make changes. And, you know, I think, you know, we should also be mindful to mention those folks who are out there and doing good things. And, you know, like, you know, the people like the Mark Copelands of the world who are out there, you know, telling the other side of the story about things around the board of trustees that people would be alarmed about. It's just, you know, there's just a lot of dysfunction there that's got to be, you can't, you know, when it comes to, you know, grieving or healing, you know, the first thing is, you know, you got to acknowledge there's a problem.
Right.
You know, the first step is denial. The second step, you know, you got to acknowledge, deny, and you finally get all the way to, you know, acceptance. But, you know, that's where we got to, you know, where we've got to get to.
You got to look at another thing. You got to look at the fact of, what is their purpose? Why or what are they doing? You know, when we talk about people ask about the podcast, we're doing it because I want to have fun. I've been wanting to do a sports show since I was 7 years old, 1980. So that's my agenda, to have fun and do something I've always wanted to do, a dream of mine. So be it. And I love ECU. I really do. And just because I love ECU doesn't mean that we're not going to tell you what's going on. And it hurts. It really hurts. As someone who in the past people have, I think, sometimes sarcastically called me a cheerleader for ECU, as much as I love the school, and why do you always talk about ECU and all that, even before we did the podcast. But the thing about it is that we've got people that are really good people right now that are, unfortunately, once again, are overshadowed by this mess. And the only way you get rid of the mess is to, I think, John, it took a lot of courage, a lot of guts. You could have, if you think about it, things were headed in the wrong direction. But I wanted to make this point. If things were going well, let me say this to the fans that love Comfort and the people who loved him. If things were going well, if John had done that and did the banner and things were going well, then I can understand the argument of people saying that guy's crazy. The reasons why that movement really took off very fast was because there were many things that were wrong. And if things were, you know, the lunatic fringe and all that stuff, you're always going to have that in the fan base. But those people, you don't even know really who those people are. They hide behind names on message boards or whatever. You don't even know who those people are. Just crazy. They're nuts. Every fan base has that. But this particular case with you, John, I got to tell you, you had a lot of kahunas. Give you kudos to what you did. And it's like in history, I was talking to Kyle earlier, in American history, our forefathers had a lot of guts, because there was only a third of the people in the colonies who wanted to take on the British. It was a small percentage compared to what most people think. And they took on a superpower, the only superpower and the biggest country in the whole wide world, and won independence. And, you know, I think that with you, I've always told my nephews, as I tell my children now, you may be in the minority, but I remember one time my nephew was in a class, and there was 20-some kids in the class. He was the only one that told the truth out of, I think it was 23 kids in the class. And I told him, I said, that's exactly what you do. You never cave in to, even if you're the only one. He was the only one that told the truth to the teacher of what happened. It doesn't matter what happened in the classroom. But the point being is, you were one who stood up, and there were a lot of people, but a lot of us didn't stand up, as far as we didn't want the athletic director, but we could have done, we've tried. And like you said, it took something out of the norm. It's not something I think you would even normally have done. But it took that in order to shock value, of whatever you want to call it, for things to be out there and for exposure, not for your exposure, but for what's going on and what's wrong. So hopefully, what do you think have you heard, John, what's next? I was going to ask that about 20 minutes ago, but I forgot, just realized it. What do you think's next going forward? Do you want to see the 40? I know for the other folks, it would be nice to see the ceremony. You got to do the ceremony. I mean, this is totally ridiculous. So they've got to do it. And now they've definitely got to do the ceremony, because those of us that are putting it out there You got to do the ceremony. So do the ceremony, give John the award, and let's move on. And then we just estimate shaking my head of another blunder by this administration.
Yeah, that would be my guess of what happens. You know, that they the event goes on. You know, we all, you know, I would let bygones be bygones and, you know, accept my award and, you know, kind of move from there. I think that's the logical conclusion to this. But, you know, we'll see what how ECU handles this. So there's definitely a there's definitely going to be a public relations kerfuffle, you know, because, you know, Heath was pretty well liked from what I can tell. I mean, I've only had a few interactions with him. He's been, you know, very nice to me. You know, I applied to be on the alumni advisory board last year, didn't get it. You know, applied, you know, obviously applied for 40 under 40 this year and got that. And, you know, he's been very, in any of our communications, he's been, you know, very collegial, very professional. You know, so like you said, he seems like a good, nice guy. Everybody I've talked to, who knew it, who knows him, says he's a really good, nice guy. So, you know, he's been a real stand up for this and obviously has a lot of integrity. And hopefully that, hopefully he hasn't lost his job in vain and that others in the administration or whoever is behind all this will show the kind of integrity that Heath Bowman has. And, you know, we can all kind of move on with this and continue to, you know, do great things for the university.
Well, we need to, I think, wrap things up. We're about out of time, but wow, what a bizarre, another bizarre. It's like ECU is in the episode or episodes plural or seasons now of the Twilight Zone. It just never ceases to amaze me and not in necessarily always a good way. Kyle, do you have any final thoughts before we go?
No, I'm just, it's a shame that, that Heath Bowman had to resign, you know, but, good for him to have the gumption, the balls, the courage and do it. Like John said, hopefully it's not in vain and, something comes of this positive for the university.
I would say this is, you know, why I think, you know, the past, why knowing somebody's past is important. You know, if we, you know, all the stuff about state that this has been known in the past, you know, that's why I'm not really surprised. I mean, this is a guy who made up a female pseudonym to attack somebody. This is a guy whose campaign associates were found guilty, literally not just were found guilty in a court of law of libel, who has been a sponsor of bills about voter suppression, who's been a sponsor of bills about, you know, about private supporting private schools and not public education. I mean, these are the things that, you know, you've got to investigate before you bring somebody to such a high post in public education. And so I think that's where, you know, really you've got to know your past. You got to know who you're dealing with. And so, you know, like I said, I hope that he, you know, did not, you know, fall on this sword in vain. But, you know, I think while this is certainly kind of disturbing and could certainly be a slippery slope, that, you know, while it's sad, I'm not surprised. And I hope we can all kind of learn something from this and kind of move on.
And Bubba, what do you think?
Bubba's asleep, David. I hear him snoring.
Okay. All right. Well, actually,
God, I'm that boring. Jesus, Bubba.
That is the second person to fall asleep. Me being the first, but not tonight. I feel. Who are we interviewing, David?
Othello Meadows. In fact,
Othello Meadows.
I'm glad you said that. We've been wanting to have him back on, and we'll reach back out to him so we can. You can apologize. And so I just want to.
Oh my God! I snore a lot louder than Bubba. I don't know if you guys can hear him. I can hear him. It's a really faint snore. I was sawing logs in the interview with Othello.
I'm sorry. At least it's actually
a couple months ago, because one of my PAs fell asleep without his phone on mute and was just sawing logs, and it just got to be so distracting. We had to stop the mute.
Well, I know, John, you've been generous with your time in recording this at nighttime, and I know that you have to get up, my friend. That's why I could talk to you for hours about pirates and all that. But trying to be respectful of your day job, so to speak. And
no problem.
Thank you again.
4:40 is early, but you know, it'll be all right.
Yep, and appreciate all you're doing there, and also I want to appreciate all you're doing for ECU, and hopefully we'll see what comes of it. We'll, if we have any other breaking news regarding that, obviously, anything else, then we'll keep an eye on the story, so to speak. In the meantime, for Bubba Snoring Rosenbaum and Kyle from Lorraine's Barber, thank you, Dr. Breen.
This is
Dave Richardson for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.